Hi, everybody. This is April, speaking to you from Space Year 2023. That's right. I'm cutting in here to let you know that it has now been 10 years, a full calendar decade since I started this podcast, Go Bayside. And as you've probably noticed the entire time, it was very DIY. I was never on a network. There's never been any ads in any of the episodes. And now that it's been 10 entire years that it's been out there in the ether on every possible podcast player for you to enjoy, I am taking the first 50 episodes and I am archiving them. So episodes 1 through 50 will now only be available on my Patreon, which is patreon.com/AprilRichardson. If you go there, there's several tiers that I think are very reasonable. The first being just to have access to all of the Go Bayside archive episodes. The rest being to catch up on the new stuff that I'm making should you be interested in hearing me talk about other things that aren't Saved by the Bell related. So there you go. It's been 10 years, you guys. 10 years listening to me talk nonsense about this television show. And now you can join me over at patreon.com/AprilRichardson. Or if it's easier for you to remember, you can go to baremins.com. That is BAREMINS.com. And you can find all of the old Go Bayside episodes there for you to enjoy. Play until your heart's content. Leave comments. See the photos on my old green couch. Join us there, please. And thank you so much for 10 years of supporting Go Bayside. Okay, you guys, welcome to another episode of Go Bayside.
Can you hear that fan in the background?
No.
You sure?
I am sure because I've had it on in previous episodes. Well, guess what, everybody? That's the voice of today's guest, my friend Moshe Kasher, that I literally had to beg to come do this. Literally, I had to beg you.
True.
Many
True.
Times. True. You're kind enough to succumb.
Yeah, man. Go Bayside.
Okay. Well, the episode that we just watched, it's called No Hope with Dope, and the original air date was November 30th, 1991. Now, before we get real deep into this, I need you to just give a brief synopsis of the plot.
All right.
Plot. 4 or 5 sentences, and then we'll go deep.
So the head of the world's most powerful newspaper group has died. And we start off there.
Okay.
And it's kind of a weird sequence, but then there's a close-up on a snow globe.
Oh,
and he says,
I can see how this has happened before.
You're Rosebud.
Yeah, you're confusing this with Citizen Kane.
Oh.
They're very similar. They're very similar.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's a mistake many have made.
Right. Okay. No. Yeah. Okay. I think what actually happened was the kids at Bayside heard a rumor that Johnny Mnemonic is coming.
Johnny Dakota.
Johnny Utah.
Yes.
From Point Break. The movie star Johnny Dakota is coming to the school.
Yeah.
Turns out it's true.
Yeah.
There he is.
Yeah.
Johnny Dakota.
Yeah.
Lisa Turtle swoons.
Yeah.
What a man.
No, you got to just give the framework now, then we'll get into that. Just be like, movie star comes to the school.
Oh, all right. Movie star comes to school to do a PSA.
Yeah.
About not doing drugs.
Yes.
Turns out he does drugs.
He totally does drugs.
And the guys at Bayside, they won't stand for it.
Nope. They're not hypocrites, and then they kick him out, whatever. Okay. Yes, that's the framework of the thing. Now, yes, let's get into it.
Okay.
Because the episode starts off with everybody's in the hallway.
Yep. They're just sitting around doing business, you know? They're in the hallway. There's only 4 people in the hallway at a major high school in the Los Angeles area.
Right. And doing business.
Yeah, they're doing business. And then Lisa says she heard a rumor.
Yeah.
Johnny Dakota.
Yes.
He's in the building.
Now, I love the phrasing of that. I love that she's like, I heard a rumor. Because the dude is in the building. So that just means that like somebody saw him and is like, hey, I just saw Johnny Dakota. And
what would you do if you were in high school and somebody said, I heard a rumor you know, famous star.
Well, here's what
Aaron Carter.
Aaron
is here.
Carter. Well, this is, I compare this guy. Well, the thing is then he does walk up. Like, Johnny Dakota walks
Boom,
up.
Boom, Dakota.
Now, from what I can gather in Saved by the Bell world, this guy's like a Tom Cruise. I'm going to go Tom Cruise on it because this is going to be like Tom Cruise in like Top Gun times
oh,
at
sure.
his peak. So
I think he's more of like a on the cover of Bop kind of dude.
Oh, he's more teeny bopper.
He's actually Mark Paul Gosselaar. Or is that how you say it?
Gosselaar, I think.
Gosselaar?
You made him like Gosselaar. A French aristocrat or
well,
something.
My favorite I would say my favorite French filmmakers are Truffaut.
Sure.
Another one.
And Gosselaar.
And Gosselaar.
Yeah. Another one.
I couldn't think of another French filmmaker. Do you
okay.
know
Jean-Luc Godard or something?
Yeah, Godard.
Yeah.
And Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah. Yes,
that's
he
my
also
favorite
makes
French.
Films.
That's my favorite French leader.
Well, I'm just saying because he's an actor. They tried. They're like, oh my god, he's a movie star,
right?
But the guy walks. So he walks in the hall, and no one is bothering him.
Right.
That's
I mean,
what I don't get about it is how much he can just chill so hard in the halls and like no one's on his junk. Like if a movie star comes to your high school, people are going to be losing their shit.
Right. Although honestly, I feel like there was a lot of different plot problems in this script.
Sure. That's just one of them.
A lot of different.
Right. Which so, we will get to. But that's a thing. A main thing I have with this episode
why,
is he's painted as a movie star, but yet no one, he just walks around the school and no one is bothering him.
Right. Except Lisa Turtle.
Lisa. But even she's the only one that seems to be super tripped up by it.
Right.
No one's trying to take his picture. No one's getting autographs. No one's like losing their minds.
There are people getting autographs in this.
Not just like when he's walking down the hall, though. Like, nobody ever just, like, bothers
I
him.
I like that you're bumping on this. This is, I mean, I've...
Look, this is the whole point of this podcast is for me to get really real on it.
Yeah, no. I mean,
so
I get it.
So just know that happens.
There were definitely some serious continuity and logic problems in the script,
yes,
for sure.
Yes. So, yes, Lisa's losing her mind. She says, my favorite Hollywood hunk is here.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Dakota. That's when he walks up. No one talks except Zach. Zach's always cool, always got moves, and he goes, Johnny, what's up, man?
What's
I loved
up,
you in Skateboard High.
Which is, you're saying that's like Tom Cruise.
Oh, you're, well, I guess, well, Tom
Skateboard
Cruise is in
High.
Like...
First of all, why was he surprised about this guy doing drugs when he's in a movie called Skateboard, High? You gotta, I mean, that's, he just is describing what he does.
Right. Oh,
he skateboards
think...
high.
Right. And it.
What?
You do know that it was Skateboard High School.
That's not a real movie, so how do you know?
I just know.
You can't
context
know.
Clues. It's okay. Skateboard High School.
But you just said that there are problems with context in this script.
For this, I'm going to go ahead and say there's no comma in the title of Skateboard High.
All right, so we start off with a fourth wall break.
Yeah. That's true. That is immediately the start of it.
Oh, really?
Zach talking to the camera.
Do they always do that in this show?
He does it pretty often, yeah.
From the first season?
Not, yeah.
Or is that
yeah,
something that the writers developed?
No, he does it pretty often. Talks
okay.
to the camera pretty often. Yeah.
Walks out, yo, what's up?
Yes.
Thanks for watching Burn Notice, or Franklin and Bash, or whatever.
Right.
And this is a flashback episode.
Right. He just immediately addresses the camera. Hey, what's up? We're at school. It's the mid-semester blues. No vacation in sight.
Right. No, next year... I'm going to ask for weekdays off.
That's right.
Huge laugh.
Huge laugh.
For out the gate.
Because everybody knows Zach Morris is running things.
Out the gate, Gosselaar getting crazy laughs.
Right. Well, you got to establish who's in charge here. It's Zach Morris.
This is Morris's school, man.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Mnemonic walks up.
Johnny Dakota. Everybody's chilling with him. Zach, I loved you in Skateboard High. Thanks, guy.
Lisa Turtle turns around. She thinks she's going to approach him, but she ends up retreating into her shell.
Yeah, she
faints. You know what I mean.
She, like, straight up faints. Oh, I'm sorry. I stepped on your turtle joke.
Turtle joke, dude. Come
dude.
On, man. Lisa
oh,
Turtle.
Yes, ending that shit.
Crawls back into her shell.
I'm sorry.
Faints at the very sight of,
yes.
of Johnny.
Johnny Dakota.
Johnny Dakota.
And then they are all like, what are you doing here? Of course.
And he's like, I'm here to buy more garish 90s sports coats. Everybody's in Versace, huge lapels. Screech is steady in some hammer pants the whole time. I mean, it is so, there's panel, it's like straight up Chess King.
Chess King for real.
For real.
Like, repping Chess King hard in every episode.
I mean, wild. AC Slater got extreme pleats.
Yeah. There's acid wash. They're like the most pleated Z-cav reaches available.
Snake skin belts with metal tips. I mean, it is real.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's break down the Giant Dakota thing, though, because he walks in. They all just casually, except Lisa, of course, who faints, but they're all like, hey, what are you doing here? Now, movie star or not, he's an adult who doesn't go to that high school. So this, again, is a case of this high school having zero security.
Right.
Adults can just freely walk on campus.
Come on in.
Just walk into the school.
But P.S., Marc-Paul Gosselier is looking 45 years old from Jump Street.
I don't think so at all.
He doesn't look like none of these people look like high school students.
They're of age. They
Elizabeth
are teenagers.
Berkeley.
She looks like a straight mom.
Is a straight up. She's 7 feet tall.
She looks like a secretary in all these. Yes.
She's stacked.
Yeah.
She's stacked.
Yeah, but they dress her like a mom.
Her titties are on blow, though. You know what I mean? Dude, you're fucking. This is crazy. What's happening with your. I wish you guys could see this, but
it's just
April's.
My ottoman is broken.
Is mad broken.
Look, I'm not. I don't own a. I'm not to the level of success yet where I have these. This is the furniture that was in my parents' living room.
Fair enough. Let's
and
get
I got
back
it when
Bayside.
I moved out. Okay. So my thing is, Johnny Dakota, a strange adult, is just allowed to walk into the halls of Bayside. No security. No one stops him.
Right. He walks in with his director.
So just two strange adults just waltz on in. Nobody cares. Even to where the principal Belding comes up and is like,
hello.
Hey, cool. Psyched to see you.
Yeah.
Not how'd you get in here?
To be fair, though, if you were at a high school and a couple of adults were there, you'd be like, hey, what are you doing here? And if they turned around and it was Aaron Carter, you'd be like, oh, shit, Aaron Carter. Cool.
Aaron Carter is your go-to guy.
Well, who's an equivalent here? Because I don't watch TV, youth TV anymore.
Me neither, but a movie guy, like Zac Efron. I'm going to go Zac Efron.
Okay.
Because he's at least been in like teen movies.
There you go, Zac Efron. So Zac Efron walked onto a public high school campus, it's not like security would be like, excuse me.
Zac Efron.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, cool, Zac Efron. You're trying to make it as a comic actor now, right?
Right. I think bare men's, though, they'd be like, they would be like, what are you doing here? Before he got in the door, they'd kind of be like, well, we should know why you're going to walk in here.
True.
Zac Efron.
Fair point.
Anyway, so he walks in, then makes his intentions known. Then they're like, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I'm here looking for a high school. We're scouting out high schools to shoot an anti-drug
PSA.
Commercial.
This is my director. And then the director says, yo.
Yo.
That's his whole thing.
That's his thing. You know how Hollywood directors do. You know how Spielberg only greets people by saying, yo.
P.S. is like an old white man in like an Indiana Jones leather jacket.
Yes.
It's not like he's some like, it's not like he just got through directing Boys in the Hood. This is a balding white dude.
Yes.
Like, yo.
In a jacket from like Wilson's The Leather Experts.
Which is interesting because it's like, you know, they're trying to call into you know, your mental framework some kind of like, Hollywood imagery of like
some
like flashy
the cool
director.
Hollywood dude, yeah.
Yo, but what's funny is the people that wrote the script work in Hollywood.
And they still didn't get it right.
Yeah, these aren't like middle America people like approximating.
Right.
These are people that work with directors literally every day.
Yes.
Who ostensibly do not say yo.
Yeah. Yes, but yet they still wrote. They wrote this as if it's like that trope of like, you know how Hollywood directors are. Yeah, exactly.
They'd be like, yo.
Yeah. It's the only word they ever say to anyone.
So,
no, you're right.
Screech comes in.
Uh-huh.
He meets Johnny Dakota.
And he don't give a fuck.
I'm going to say I feel like Screech is overacting a little. Like, that was the first
it's
thing
a
I
controversial
noticed.
Stance you're taking.
I felt like he was overacting. I did. I felt like some of the choices he made as an actor were a little extreme.
It's true.
Now,
he does go a little overboard from time to time.
But for real, Screech, Dustin Diamond, straight up, makes Jaleel White look like Miranda July.
It's like the most amazing thing anyone's ever said on this podcast. That like he makes Urkel look mumblecore.
Oh, absolutely.
And understated.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
compared to Dustin Diamond, Urkel is like, I drink your milkshake.
Yeah.
I mean, just... Not that Daniel Day-Lewis isn't an overactor in his own way, but
right. No, you're right. Of course, he's like vaudevillian in his doing of his moves, like his super exaggerated moves.
Now, what was Dustin Diamond doing before Saved by the Bell? Does anyone know?
I don't think anything. He's like the youngest of the cast.
Where did he get these chops from?
These chops! I'm sure he studied with, what,
Stella Adler? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's definitely a groundling.
Yeah. He was the youngest groundling. That's where he got his chops. He was in the groundling when he was like 12.
Right.
Yeah. So Del Close and Stella Adler.
That's right.
I think is who he studied under.
No, Stanislavski. I actually think that originally he wasn't studying with Stanislavski in Russia.
Right.
I think that's possible. So in walks Principal Belding to figure out what's going on here.
Right. And again, he's just psyched. He's immediately like, hey, movie star, cool that you're in our school. No problem. What are you doing here?
I'm immediately struck at the fact that Mr. Belding is very skinny. Because I've seen.
Oh, then he is today. Yeah.
Yeah. I just always, because I've seen that guy recently, I just figured Belding is like a plump.
Where have you seen him recently?
I mean, like at the improv. He does stand up.
No. Because I've seen him at like parties and shit. Weird. He was at like Ben Glebe's party. Yeah, I go to high school for it. He was at Ben Glebe's birthday party. I've weirdly seen him out at places, but I didn't know he does stand up.
Yeah, he does stand up. And he'll come on stage and I'll be like, Mr. Belding's here, and I'm going to eat your pussy or something. You know, that kind of
like
thing.
The Bob Saget thing.
Kind of. Except
where it's like, you know me as the dad from Full House, and now I'm going to drop F-bombs all night.
Would you let him hit?
Are you fucking crazy?
I'm just saying like on a nostalgia level.
Are you fucking crazy?
Okay, what about Mark Paul Gossier?
Any second of the day, that guy can
what
get
about
it.
A.C. Slater?
No.
For real?
No.
Mario Yamasaki?
Mario can't because he's
so
kinda
cute. He's so handsome.
Yes, but he's got a vibe about him where it's like he might take it even if he can't have it.
Oh, like rape.
I don't want to say that strong.
You're accusing Mario
mouth.
Lopez of being a sexual assault person.
Is that how they're charged? Mm-hmm. Your Honor, we have a sexual assault person taking the stand.
Dustin Diamond, would you hit?
Again, are you fucking crazy?
Okay.
Why are you even asking?
Elizabeth Berkley.
Out of anyone on the screen, Zach is the only one who can get it.
Even Tiffany?
Tiffany can't. No, I'm not into the ladies, really.
Now, Lisa Turtle, have you seen her lately?
Yes, but it's like sad.
Straight up bonkers. Like, bananas.
Like
chemical.
Really sad. Sad. Right. Not like funny crazy, like sad crazy.
All right, so moving on.
So
he says, Dustin Belding's like, what are you doing here?
Yes. And Johnny Dakota.
Johnny says, I'm here to make an anti-drug PSA.
Yeah. He's.
For NBC television.
For NBC television. Very specific.
Is NBC television.
Now let's break this down, because how often do you think in Hollywood, when a star is attached to any sort of project, is the actual star of it sent out to do the location scouting? How many times do you think that happens?
Pretty often. I mean, they did justify it in that it seemed like Johnny London was invested in making sure that it was the right group of kids.
Sure,
he wanted to work with the kids.
Right.
He really did.
Okay.
I mean, he did, though.
All
he
right.
was, like, interviewing them.
I'll give
like,
you hey, I stepped on your Lisa Turtle joke. I'll let you step on my location scouting joke.
No, that
because
got
normally,
the laugh there.
I'm just saying, I get what you're saying. Like, he seemed into it. But that would but zero times would that happen where the studio is like, let's send the star of it out to location scout
right.
and make sure he is totally in that process.
Well, there's a structure to making in Hollywood. You start as a PA.
Right.
You move into something like location scouting, then into assistant directing, then into line producer, director, extra, guest star, series regular, ensemble player.
Star
of Skateboard High. That's right. That's how it works, man. And so he was going back to his old skills
back
as a location scout.
Yeah. But no, you're right. He does seem very like, I want to be hands-on with this. I want to make sure these kids
right.
are on point, whatever.
And then in walks Tip. What's her name?
Well, no. You were skipping the most amazing part because he goes,
oh, that's
he's
right.
like, let me
he's
decide. Like,
I'm
I'll
not
see.
Sure.
Whatever.
I'm not sure if I should do this. I'm not convinced that.
Yeah, that this
that
is the right school.
Bayside.
But then that's when Jesse comes up and is like, let me give you a tour. I'm like president of the school. Let me tell you what's up. Takes
and
him
inexplicably,
off.
Inexplicably. Yeah. What she says is pretty chill. She
yeah.
says, I'm the president of the school. Let me show you the school. The studio audience goes bananas.
Yeah.
And goes, ooh.
Like it's a sex thing. Totally. Yeah. Like they're totally like, hey, there. She's gonna go show him the school privately, sexually. Yeah, it is a weird woo that I don't understand where that came from. But yeah, so she goes to do that, and then
Are you checking your email right now?
No, something made a noise on my computer, so I wanted to make sure it didn't do it anymore. So I was closing that window. Yeah, I'm like, I'm already checked out. Yeah, whatever. Check my email. Yeah, so they walk off. In the time that they walk off, apparently the entire school meets.
They have an impromptu meeting. It's only, I mean, it couldn't be more than 5 minutes.
Not even. Yeah.
And they have, while Johnny San Francisco is deciding.
Yes.
If he's going to.
He's taking a lap around the school. Yeah.
They have arranged a impromptu stair rap.
Yeah. So in that time, they all got together. They wrote a rap.
And it's, to be fair, for script continuity, the rap is bad enough that it could have been slapped together that quickly.
It is true. They clearly didn't spend a lot of time on it, but enough time that they're like, hey, school, let's meet up.
Check out what we've got.
These are the rhymes. You spit these bars. You are doing these. You're doing these.
My name is Zach, and I want to say, do I do drugs? Mm-mm. No way.
Yes.
If you do drugs, then you will pay a price more than you're willing today. In walks Lisa Turtle. I am a turtle. I turn into a human. Later on in my life, I will be ruined. Mentally, chemically, my brain will melt. But right now, I eat bread made of spelt because I'm gluten intolerant. But that's not connected. Yo, do drugs? Nah, I deflected that away from my own self. Don't do drugs. They're bad for your health. In walks Screech. Hey, them Screech. I don't do drugs. But actually, I will turn into a womanizing weirdo that'll do a porn movie at some point and try to co-opt stand-up comedy into my thing, even though I clearly don't belong on stage. But I'm sure he's a good guy in his own way. He's probably just reaching out.
Oh, these rhymes are tight.
Hold up, dude. My fucking rhyme is going. He's desperate for like the empty gulf that having been too famous too quickly left in a person that doesn't have enough talent to live up to it. He's watching his peers, you know, Mario Lopez. He's become Hollywood's second host after Ryan Seacrest. Mark Paul Gaultier, he made a lot of noir films, and then he went into the USA format. He's a nice guy. Tiffany Amber Thiessen, nobody knows what happened to her. And Elizabeth Berkley, of course, Showgirls. Boom! And that convinces Johnny Dakota.
Right, that was a tight rhyme, first of all.
Thank you so
much.
You
just crushed the freestyle game
straight
with that.
Up.
Like,
straight up.
Hard.
Yep. Hold up. Wait. Belding Highs. Great. That's Kendrick. So, okay.
So, yeah. They come together. They do their school rap.
Did I say Belding High?
Yes, you did.
I did. I didn't mean to.
So, yeah, he takes a lap around the school. When he comes back, Zach's like, let me show you what we really are. So they all are on the staircase, and they just rap. And a beat plays out of nowhere.
Well, there were in the 90s spontaneous beats.
Oh, and maybe there was a guy skateboarding by with a giant boombox or
high
something.
As fuck.
Yeah, of course. Because he went to skateboard high. Yeah, so they rap on the stairs. Everyone just does this with a straight face. Like, yeah, we just are going to rap for you.
We rap. And that's enough for Johnny Mexico to say.
Yeah, he's like,
yeah,
I got it.
This is the school.
This is definitely the school.
No, he hasn't decided yet.
Then the part where Kelly comes in.
In walks Kelly Kapowski.
Yes.
Bright orange sheer shorts. I can
like
see,
jumpsuit.
I can see her pussy.
Totally.
Like full
and
on.
Like her nipples.
100%.
Yes.
She is real hot.
Yeah.
I mean, she just is hot. Everyone's 6 feet tall. They went and wrote. I can see Tiff's pussy, and then...
You're just reading straight from your notebook now?
Yeah, and then Dakota says, oh,
this
yeah.
This is what's up.
I'm trying to be with her.
Yes.
This is the school for me.
Yes.
Once again, the director says, yo.
Exactly.
Second yo.
Second but yo.
What you don't know is that yo is Yiddish for yes. Hollywood is run by the Jews. It does make sense.
It does make perfect sense. They wanted to get that out there, that message out there. Okay, you are totally right. Also,
Act One finished.
Well, I do want to say this, though. We don't know how old Johnny Dakota is, but we definitely know Kelly is not 18.
Right, but let's so not a let bit that there. Stop you.
Right. But he's at least in his 20s. He's at least in his 20s, let's say. Unless it's like a Corey Haim, Corey Feldman situation where he is a teenager,
but in high school, he looks mad old. He wasn't... Skateboard High.
It's true. He did play a high schooler in Skateboard High. Okay, so yeah, that's the end of the first act. So, we come back. The next scene is Zach in the hallway with a booth. and he's selling Johnny Dakota stuff.
Doorknobs.
Yes. Anything he's touched.
Anything he's touched.
Which, that makes no... This guy is just freely walking the halls among the students. They can hang with him, touch him, talk to him. They can also grab anything he touched. Like, why would they pay for any of that?
Also, he's selling some, like, doorknobs and stuff, and that's not a very big deal. Like, the kids are kind of interested.
Yeah.
But then Screech brings up a pair of sunglasses, and Zach again says, I really have some stuff. Now all of these students just swarm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
Why
yeah.
they weren't swarming before,
right?
Who knows? But there is a black guy behind them.
Yes.
A black extra who's kind of just like really trying to make his moment count.
Yeah, of course.
He's in frame.
He's
in
like
camera.
Trying to lean into.
He's over Gossier's shoulders.
Yeah, I love you. Always refer to him by his fake French last name.
What? Gossier? Marc Gossier? très bien.
His name is spelled M-A-R-Q-U-E.
Yeah, le cinéma fantastique. Sure. Marc Gossier.
Well, my friend Justin was on, and he was an extra in a few episodes.
Yeah.
And he was actually saying how they all made fun of it. Like, all the extras were in on the joke and just like, we know this sucks, whatever. And so they would take turns kind of trying to get in the scene and try to be like...
Now, did the cast think that their show sucked?
No. The way that Justin described it, it was a bit like the extras were kind of like the cool kids. And they tried to like hang, the cast wanted to like hang out with extras afterward.
Really?
And they were all like, we're cool. Like, we're good.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, he was saying how Screech, after they were shooting something, and Screech was like, you want to hang out after and go shoot guns? And Justin was like, what? No.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, that black dude would have been on board for that.
Oh, well, of course.
Because of the guns.
Yes.
Now, that was racist, and that was a test for your listening audience to see if they were upset. And if you were upset, you passed.
Then you're okay. You're not a racist.
If you weren't upset.
If you agreed,
then you're
fully racist.
You should not listen to this podcast.
Turn it
anymore.
Off right now.
That's right. This has been a PSA about racism.
About racism.
From NBC television.
Let's go to a high school tomorrow.
Yep.
Let's just like, walk into one.
Is that
and be
stand-up
like, we're
here comedian
to,
Moshe Kasher?
Right. And be like, I'm here scouting for a place to shoot my anti-racism
my anti-racism podcast.
Yes.
For NBC podcasting.
Yes. Do you have a hot girl who goes here that will convince me to film it here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then will I be able to see the outline of her labia? First and foremost. All right. So?
Okay. So it's weird that he's selling stuff this guy touched that is just freely walking down the hall because there's no novelty there. Anyone can just go talk to him.
Right. Belding comes in. He's upset at this flea market.
Yes.
Around the
circus. Because he's also selling this shit like 2 feet away from Belling's office. Like, of course he's going to get caught.
Yeah, and also he's selling doorknobs at our school property.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That is what strikes me as the funniest part of this, is that it's not... Like, Belling just goes, hey, you're not allowed to exploit our guests, instead of, hey, why don't you not physically remove the doorknobs from all the doors at our school? We
need
them.
We are in a straight-up educational budget crisis. Yeah. And you're destroying school property.
We have no doorknob budget. Leave
right.
them where they are. We can't buy new doorknobs. Yeah. So he gets in trouble, but then
Johnny
comes
Dakota
up.
To the rescue, comes in, he covers for Zach.
Yes.
He says, no, I told Zach he could sell doorknobs that I've touched as long as the money went to an anti-drug charity.
Just that sentence.
Yeah. And Belding is...
Hey, Belding, I told him specifically, you can sell the doorknobs I'm touching.
Yep.
It's
Belding's
for
convinced.
A good cause.
He says, as long as it's for a good cause. They never address what just happened.
No.
Zach doesn't go, thank you for lying for me. That was really cool. I almost got in a bunch of trouble.
Yeah.
They just move on.
Right. He's just like, yeah, thanks. And then, well, yeah, they're just like, anyway, he goes.
Dakota says, see how much you can get for my
his jacket.
Non-racist skinhead.
Yeah, it's
flight
like a
jacket.
Bomber, yeah, isn't it like a bomber jacket or something? Yeah.
Right.
A he's a sharp.
Yeah.
Johnny Dakota's sharp.
Yeah. Well, he looks ethnic.
He does.
Dakota looks ethnic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, his original name was Johnny South Dakota, but he dropped it for
right?
Hollywood.
So is he, do you think Johnny Dakota's an American Indian?
That's right. And that's
he's
what
a Native
this,
American?
That's what this episode's really about, is about the plight of chemical dependency and alcoholism in the Native American
that
community.
That actually could be something they might have wanted to touch on.
Well, they did.
They could have given him the name Johnny Dakota on purpose to make a statement about that.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think they did.
It's very poignant.
I think we just figured out the real message.
It's true.
Behind dope, dude, dope, no hope,
no hope with dope.
Dope. All right, so.
So he gives him his jacket, and then Zach's like, what? I'm not going to sell this. I'm going to wear it.
I'm keeping it because cool. You're my bud.
He puts it on right in front of him.
Yeah.
Like,
no
that's
shame.
Pretty weird.
No shame.
No.
But Johnny doesn't blink. He's like, yeah, that's a sweet jacket.
Yeah.
I'm wearing two T-shirts of different colors.
With the rolled sleeves up, rolled up. With the sleeves yep. rolled mm-hmm. up. Yeah, he doesn't go, oh, that's weird, dude, that you're just putting it on immediately right in front of me. I mean, yeah, he's like, cool, bro, we're friends. And then he's like, you're so cool that I want you to have a starring role in this PSA.
You know what? You put my jacket on. That's pretty cool.
We're one step, that's like Blood Brothers. We're like right. one step away from Blood mm-hmm. Brothers. We're tight now. Star in my PSA.
And Zach is very on board.
Of course he is. Anything to get more girls.
Right.
Anything.
Because Zach is straight up a sex addict.
He one track mind. You are right. Anything. He's just like trolling for puss at all times. Like that's when he does speak to the camera when Johnny first gets there and they're trying to convince him. He says, we got to get him because wherever there's a movie star, there's girls.
At this point in his life, do you think Zach Morris eats pussy? Like eats, like is he developed sexually enough that he wants a woman to enjoy her body?
Right. I don't think so.
No.
And the reason I don't think so is because up until recently, he's been with Kelly for a while.
And Kelly definitely isn't down with that.
No.
She's not comfortable with herself enough.
I think that Kelly's a virgin. I don't think he and Kelly had sex.
But what about just like a little num num num?
I don't even Kelly seems like the kind of girl that's like too.
Do you think he fingered her?
I think fingering, yes.
Yeah.
But she seems like the kind of girl that's, like, uptight about, like, I don't want you to go down there with your face.
Right.
I'm nervous about it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I don't want you to stick your hand down my pants that are up to my abdomen.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't want you to put your hand
a whole production
on my chest and then put your hand down my pants.
Yeah,
I don't want
exactly.
that. Right.
It's going to take too much time.
All right.
No, Kelly does. She seems like these girls I even knew in high school that were just like, I'm too nervous about that.
What about Berkeley? What's she all about?
Do I think she...
Does she put out? Berkeley.
I think she...
Or not Berkeley. What's her name?
Jessie in the show.
Jessie.
I think Jessie does. I think Jessie would be like a dominatrix. Because I think she's going to... Her
feminism
in the bedroom is going to... But
right.
It's going to translate... The character they've made her, I could see her being like in the bedroom, fucking whips
right.
and chains,
okay.
punishing men.
And of course Mario Lopez is a homosexual. Okay, so
no wait, he's rapey.
Right. Well, he's homosexual.
No,
rapey.
I know. I think girls definitely.
Okay.
I think he's like roid raging, like date rapist kind of thing.
Interesting. I don't think that this line of humor is funny for me. For me, this doesn't work. But I mean, I'm not gonna tell you what you can joke about on your
podcast.
Oh, you're
going to lead me down the path and then abandon me when I get there.
Right, and then my friend Mario Lopez is going to jump out of a bush on the path.
I don't like
and
this
have his
at
way
all.
With you. Okay, so.
Oh, so rape is only funny when it involves me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's classically true.
Okay, cool.
I believe I read a Jezebel article about
cool, bro.
The right kind of rape joke. And
I'm going to get hate mail for this
well,
episode.
Well, you can
already.
Edit it.
I don't want to.
Oh.
I keep it real.
I'm not keeping it real.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Again, leaving me out to dry.
Okay, so then they have an interchange where he says to Kelly, I bet you have a lot of boyfriends.
Yeah, which is weird. Isn't just one enough?
Right. It's just like, what does that even mean?
I don't know.
And then she goes, no, not really. And he goes, how many?
Yeah.
And then she goes, none. But it's like, what was she supposed to say in that
like
moment?
Four?
Just four.
That was super weird to me, too.
Yeah.
I also the same note, because I'm like, I don't, just one would be a deterrent to not be able to date her. I don't, why does there have to be many boyfriends? And who in high school is progressive enough to be like,
right.
I'm
poly.
Yeah, I'm polyamorous. I'm 15, and I'm polyamorous.
Now, I would not let Glossier... put his face down there, but I do not believe in...
I'm in free love.
Yeah,
territory.
Ownership, the ownership of monogamy.
Yes.
So what I've done is I've deconstructed the monogamy paradigm.
Yes.
But
don't put your face on my puss.
No.
That's weird.
What I do is I go on multiple dates and maybe a kiss on the cheek at
yes,
the end.
Yes. So she's like zero boyfriends, and he's like, okay, cool.
Me too. I don't have a girlfriend. The crowd goes wild again. Yes. Ooh! And the studio audience in this show are so obviously coached. And what I know about these multicam studio audience shows is like they are if you're listening and you're thinking of coming to Hollywood to see a taping of your favorite multicam show, let's say it's Mulaney, or what's the best one that's out?
I don't know, because I don't watch a lot of like sitcoms.
Even the best one,
yeah,
is like a fucking nightmare.
Yeah,
for the studio audience,
right? And
it's
like
you get there, you're excited. 5 hours later,
totally.
7 takes of the same joke later. I mean, yes. It is a fucking nightmare. Now imagine that very nightmare applied to Saved by the Bell, where none of the jokes are funny,
and you have to woo 500 times,
right?
And you have to, yeah, and you have to scream and yell. At
Although
the
there
most...
was one laugh, right?
What did you genuinely did laugh
I
at
did
something?
Chuckle when
I love it when genuine laughs come out of some of this
did
shit.
Chuckle.
You did. I forgot what it was. Now
I remember. Belding was like at the end of his pitch for Bayside High was like, "So have you decided on Bayside? You want some more of the food?" And Johnny Rhode Island says, "No, I'm pretty full from that Salisbury steak."
Yeah.
And Belding says, "That wasn't Salisbury steak. That was tapioca pudding."
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of
funny. You did laugh. Legit laugh from that.
I mean,
that.
Not legit laugh. I went... I mean, that's what I did.
It was a little more than that.
Let me see, hear your impression.
It was more like, ha ha. It was more like that.
Okay.
It had a few beats. Okay.
So that anyway. Laugh might have been genuine, but every other laugh in this show is just so obviously there's some like middle-aged audience warm-up guy.
Oh, totally.
Who's just like
or it's a machine. I don't even think or it's just a machine.
Might be fake.
There's
right.
The woo machine. So he's like, "We're bros now. Here's my jacket. We're tight. You're starring in a thing. Awesome." So the next scene is Slater and Zach in the bathroom, and Slater is not having it. Slater is not starstruck. He is not impressed by this guy's, what he says, Hollywood hype. He's like, "I don't give a shit. Who cares about this guy?"
Is that right?
Just like us.
I forgot this.
Yeah, because then that's when they find, that's when Zach's like, "Wait a minute, I smell pot."
Hold on. Don't lose one of the major plot points in this script, which is as they walk in, there's a 50-year-old gutter punk in the bathroom.
No, that's later.
No, it's not.
It is later, I promise.
You're incorrect. He walks out, he throws a napkin at Zach Morris and walks out. It's called foreshadowing.
Oh, and then they come back
it's
in
called,
and he's
it's
in the
It's a cinematic
you're right,
technique
you are right. I apologize.
That some of the greats use. Like
no, it's definitely.
Like
it's like
Truffaut
the gun on the mantle.
And Gossier.
You know it's going
to... So they did that. They were able to foreshadow. There's like a 55-year-old punker... Right, he's got a straight up.
His name is Scud.
Oh, is he a recurring character?
No. The funny thing is in this he's Scud the metalhead or whatever.
Yeah.
Previous episodes he's Ox and he's a football player jock.
Oh, so he's changed. That happens in high school.
He does.
He found music.
Different identity. He's wearing a Slayer t-shirt.
Yeah, he listened to Slayer and it changed his life. He's like, "I don't want to be a fucking jock, man.
I'm all about Slayer now.
I'm trying to rain in blood."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't fuck football, man. It's all about metal. I'm gonna go down to the Staples Center and And now he's not even into metal at this point. He's into noise pop.
You think so?
I'm talking about now.
Oh,
you know, he moved on from metal. He got
Is he
in,
still alive? Because he was 55 in high school
in
the 90s.
No, he did.
He might have passed.
He did have an overdose. He started shooting dope.
Yeah, of course. Well, because as soon as you smoke weed, you immediately, it's like heroin is the next step.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what Giant Dakota is trying to stop.
Right.
Us from doing.
That's right.
But you are correct in the fact that, yes, he's in the bathroom briefly. He leaves.
He throws a napkin at Zach.
Yeah.
And walks out, and they smell and find pot.
Right. And they are both like, "What the fuck? There's pot here, and we're trying to shoot this commercial. We're frauds."
They find a roach.
Yes.
Oh, they're like, "Uh-oh, Johnny's going to pull out because when he finds out that there's weed smoking going on at this school. Look, we found a roach."
Yeah.
Then there's hilarious runner with Screech not understanding what a roach is.
Thinking it's real.
Thinking
absolutely.
It's a cockroach, and he wants to take the roach that they found and mate that roach with his pet roach.
Of course.
Named like Millie or something.
Or like Herbert or something. Whatever.
Now, as an interesting side note, you might think that the idea of someone having a pet cockroach a little far-fetched. But I had pet cockroaches when I was a kid.
No, you did not.
I did.
How many?
I had a group of them because my stepfather is and was an entomologist.
Oh, okay.
And he brought home some cockroaches for
were
us.
Were they like big gnarly
to
ones?
To care for. No, I think they were not. They weren't
to care
the kind,
for? How do you do that?
I don't feed them. I think he wanted us to connect to his employment.
Right.
So he brought home some cockroaches. And let me tell you, ladies love pet cockroaches.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
Wait. Okay, hold on. So what does this entail? Like, do you have them in a glass thing? And then you just feed them?
It was like
them?
An ant farm.
But you can't, like, it's not like you're petting. Like, you don't do anything. You just put
food
in
there.
What you
do is you put them in your urethra. Like, and the stimulation is...
On some Richard Gere shit!
Straight up, but other side. So, okay.
No, honestly, what did you do? You just put food in there and that's
it?
Yeah,
I don't remember. Then they died. I mean, they were just cockroaches, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I did have pet cockroaches, so...
Crazy!
That script twist...
Yo, you were a total nerd!
I had a stepfather who was an entomologist. I wasn't a nerd.
You were a nerd.
I wasn't no nerd.
Yeah, you were. Deal with it. Because if you weren't a nerd, stepdad comes home with cockroaches and you go, fuck you, stepdad. I'm too cool to have cockroaches as pets.
I was
pets.
Like eight.
Still.
What do you mean?
Still.
There's nothing cooler.
Go hard at eight.
All right. Hard in the paint. I love... Okay, right.
Okay, so... They find this roach. Zach and Slater are totally like, oh shit, people smoke pot here. This sucks. We can't let Johnny find out. And then, of course, that's the exact moment he walks into the dude's bathroom.
By the way, they know immediately what pot smells like.
Immediately.
They know what a roach is.
The first time I smelled pot, I had no idea. I just was like, oh, that's weird. That stinks. Like,
so somehow, someone's been using drugs around them.
Oh, yeah. They know what's up. But so Johnny walks in. I have a few things with this, too. Again,
there's pot smoke in the air.
There's pot smoke in the air.
They're holding a joint in their hand. And Johnny says, what's this? And they say, it's not ours. And Johnny says,
I believe you.
Instantly. Instantly.
Completely. And you're right. I'm like, two dudes in a high school bathroom holding a joint. It's like, of course they're fucking smoking it.
Yeah, I believe you.
I believe you. I believe you instantly, guys. No problem at all. All this checks out.
More foreshadowing. There's something about Johnny.
Right. And he immediately flushes down the toilet. Now, I kind of have issue, though, with the fact that he was in the bathroom to begin with. Because
why is he walking in?
He's a movie star. He's a Hollywood movie star.
But he's just hanging at the school.
Pretty sure he'd at least bare minimum go use the faculty bathroom, maybe.
Right.
He's not just going to walk right in.
By kids.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't have to whip his dick out in front of, like, the kids at this school.
Listen, April, I'm with you. But
are you checking your email now?
I am. Yeah. I'm with you. I am like Johnny Dakota in this situation. I got stuff going on.
Oh, damn.
All right.
I know. I am appreciative that you're deigning to do this.
Yeah.
Please know that.
I am deigning, D-A-N-E. I'm Danish to do this. Now, I love Danish films. The Dogma, the Lars von Trier. Is he the Danish? I don't know if he's in that. Celebration. I don't know if that's Danish either. The Bjork movie, Dancer
right?
in the Dark.
Yes.
And of course, the classic of the Dogma films.
Yes.
No Light, directed by...
Who's it directed by?
Marc-Paul Gaultier. Yes. Of course.
Okay, so the next scene... So this is all, it all checks out. He's like, I totally believe you, cool.
It's all good. Let's go film this PSA. But first, I want to have a Q&A.
Yes. I want to have a rap sesh.
Material. It's just a round table.
And it's a perfect, it begins with the perfect stereotype of him turning his chair around backwards,
yeah.
Sitting in it backwards to chat with the kids.
That's how you do it when you're a movie
star.
You
rap with the kids. Mm-hmm. And so he just sits that way and is like, let's talk about it, you guys.
Screech is in an impossibly ridiculous outfit. I mean, it just continues.
It's just a parachute with suspenders attached to it.
Did anything ever get...
Or like a bed sheet, a duvet cover,
Did anything ever get nixed in the costume trailer for Screech? Did anybody ever go, not that?
Somebody brought in a tarp, and they were like,
Straight up,
we'll figure out how to make this pants.
That looks like a Screech outfit to us.
Yes.
It's just a pile of dog shit that we're going to slop onto his body as a suit. Okay, makes sense.
They're like, yeah, he would definitely wear that.
Then they jump into some very strange roundtable about the scourge of drug addiction.
Yes, and they go around.
This old prostitute's brother apparently got crippled.
Okay, this woman is easily pushing 60.
I mean, she is old.
Like,
She's old. She is.
She's a hot 60, but she's pushing 60. She's like a banger sister.
And she says, my brother used to drive to the
beach
high, but now I have to drive him. He's in a wheelchair.
Okay. There's so much.
I mean, just what?
Let's get down to brass tacks. This is less to do with drugs and more to do with apparently your brother just being a shitty driver.
Keep in mind, every word you're hearing has been written by a team of professional
adults.
Hollywood screenwriters.
Yes.
Who know what pot is.
Yes.
They know what realistic is.
Yes.
They aren't idiots. These are real human beings. They're in the Writers Guild of America.
Yes.
And this is what they went with.
Yes. And so, yeah, so she's like, my brother drove to the beach high. So it's like he just smoked weed and drove to the beach, and now he's in a wheelchair. Now the severity of that, I mean, it's just so insane. There are so many other facts. Like, okay, maybe he did get hit by like a semi-truck. Like, none of whatever happened had 0% to do with him smoking weed.
We don't know for sure that he got into a car accident. He might have just driven to the beach high.
Okay.
Now she has to drive him. He's in a wheelchair. We have no idea what happened.
Unrelated to the driving high. Yeah.
You don't know what happens when they edit stuff. The True. Next line might have been, on a separate note, he went bungee jumping in Hawaii one year and the cord was too long.
Yes.
He hit his spinal cord. It's cut back in.
Yeah.
Now I have to drive him.
It's
He's
true.
In a wheelchair.
It's true. I think that is there were details left on the cutting room
floor. He has Lou Gehrig's disease. It's
yes.
unconnected. We don't know
what it has to do with weed. You're totally right.
But it seems like probably he had a terrible weed-related car accident.
Right. But you're right. The lady, too, because she's pushing 60, we can also assume her brother is probably in the same age range. So
right.
he's lived a long, full life and had more opportunities for other things
he
to go bad.
He went to Korea.
Yeah.
He was shot.
Yeah.
Spinal cord was severed.
Yes.
Now I have to drive him.
Right.
He's in a wheelchair.
And then flip that fucking script. She could have gone, you know what? The only thing that helps ease his pain now, smoking weed.
Right.
It's all he has in his life.
Medical marijuana.
Is weed, and it's a good thing. We'll never hear that because of this anti-drug propaganda.
That's right.
So.
Then in comes, then Elizabeth Berkley goes into
yes.
talking about her problem with caffeine.
Her caffeine pill addiction that we've
that's a
already
famous,
done this
that's
episode,
a famous episode
yeah,
right?
where she's addicted to them for maybe 36 hours.
But it's also just hilarious because like they couldn't grow the balls as a TV show to have a real drug episode.
Right, right.
I mean, they're just basically ripping off the Family Ties episode where Alex B. Keaton takes speed.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But they can't do that because they're a teen show.
Yeah.
Family Ties is a more sophisticated show.
Right.
And so she gets addicted to caffeine pills, which is a thing. I mean, it's a thing.
It's a thing over time. It's not a thing that happens in a night that where you're studying for
you
a test.
You don't get addicted to caffeine pills. No-dose?
Yeah.
That's what it was called. No-dose.
No-dose. Yes, yes, yes.
You don't get addicted to that.
I mean, I bet you could after a long time.
I don't believe so.
You don't think so?
It's basically
because
like drinking a Red Bull.
But isn't it? So it's just like watered down speed, though, isn't
no,
it?
No, it's caffeine.
Oh. Well,
you're like a straight edge person, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
No, caffeine
Shit.
Is caffeine.
Right.
It's not like you get
but
struck.
Isn't it addictive? Can't people get addicted to drinking Cokes or something?
They get more likely to get addicted to the corn syrup.
Right.
Yeah, caffeine's not an addictive drug.
Even though, because I know people that like if they stop drinking coffee or if
they'll
they stop,
get a headache. Yeah, okay,
yeah.
fine. In that way, it's addictive. So
okay.
basically what we're saying is that Jesse had a headache.
Right.
That's basically what happened.
I had a long, tough headache after I stopped taking those caffeine pills for 36 hours, you guys. I know drugs, and I know what they can. I know how they can wreck lives.
Yeah, yeah. I lied to my friends for caffeine.
Yes.
My friends disappointed them for
I
caffeine.
I sucked dick
yeah,
for caffeine. Yeah, exactly. So she gives that speech, and then Scud, the guy who was in the bathroom
Scud
previously.
Scud walks in.
Yes.
Like in a Kramer-esque entrance.
Oh, totally. Like shuffles
yo,
in the
yo,
room.
Yo.
Yeah.
Screams the N-word. he says to the prostitute whose brother was crippled.
Yes.
Now, keep in mind, the reason I'm calling her a prostitute is not because I am a misogynist, but she is dressed like a streetwalker.
Yeah, she's just dressed like the stereotype of an 80s prostitute. I
Absolutely.
Think she looked, like I said, like a banger sister, like a metalhead groupie.
Yeah. Well,
she looks like she hangs out at the Roxy.
Right.
In the 80s.
But she is involved. Even though she looks like that, she's down to do an anti-drug roundtable.
Right. But that's how they fucking, they throw that curveball at you.
So Scud, who's still trying, you know, when a person gets into a scene,
yeah,
in the beginning, they're like really into like the iconography of it and mm-hmm. like trying to fit in. And so he's still in that transformative stage because right. he just found metal.
He's trying out metal.
And he comes in, he says, we got to go. There's a special at the, what I can only assume is the equivalent to Hot Topic.
Yes.
They have a special on leather studs.
Dog collars.
Dog collars.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And old prostitute rolls her eyes. She's like, ugh, Scud again. Trying to, what a poser. He's trying to fit in.
Oh my God, I can't remember the last time I heard the word poser.
She's like, I can't do it, man. I'm in the middle of this absurd anti-drug roundtable.
Right.
No problem, says Scud. I'll be in the bathroom. What is he going to be doing in the bathroom?
Giving a nerd a mohawk.
That's right. So he's not just satisfied with his own transformation. He wants to... He's like a missionary now for metal.
For metal!
Yeah.
And did metal guys have mohawks? I thought that was a punk thing.
I think they probably did, but he's in the metal militia.
Right.
You know
right.
that thing, metal yes. militia? What yes. is that?
I thought it was just like metalhead dudes. I thought it was like a more of a Hesher kind of thing.
The mohawk, you mean?
No, the metal militia. Mohawks, metal to me, I think of like decline like, of Western civilization and like punk
No, but
dudes.
Metal militia is like a thing. It's like awful people. It's like people with oh. big trucks and they have like a helmet with a skull. Haven't you seen those stickers?
Oh, it's like biker dudes or something?
No, it's like it's almost like Big Dog, but for people that like
no.
metal a little more. Hold on, I'll find you the. So
that's what you think that Scud is getting into?
No, that was just a joke because he was so into like giving the nerds mohawks.
Right.
Yeah, metal militia.
All right, look it up.
It is a FMX Sportscross MMA motocross gear and clothing.
Oh,
so it's well, it looks see, how like does that. That. Look, Nazi iconography
yeah.
in
oh,
full effect.
Oh shit! Oh shit! So yep. wait, it's like MMA. So it's like jockey muscle dudes, but
yeah, but they're in the metal militia.
Oh, okay. I see what you're talking about now.
All right. So anyway,
That is a terrible subculture.
Yeah.
That I didn't know about until just now.
Urban Dictionary defines metal militia as the T-shirts you see with the skull and German military helmet.
Cool.
Once a favorite of MXers, motocrossers.
Oh, okay.
Now at least one metal militia article of clothing is in the closet of every bro.
So where does the metal come in?
I don't know.
That's what's throwing me off.
Anyway, it was just a little aside.
Right. Just, no, but it's interesting.
Yeah, metal militia.
I wouldn't have looked that up or known any of that otherwise.
Now we know. And this has been a PSA from NBC Television.
Wink. Okay. So that's when Scud's like, yeah, I'm going to the bathroom, whatever. So that's when Zach and Slater turn to each other and they're like, hey, guess who was in the bathroom yesterday before we found that weed?
It was fucking Scud.
Totally Scud.
Scud, that motherfucker.
Right.
So they run into the bathroom straight up like Vice Squad style.
They totally do. And let us point out that Scud is bigger than the two of them put together.
Absolutely. Scud is 55 years old. He used to be on the football team. He's a metal guy. He wants to do a human sacrifice.
Yes.
He's in the bathroom smoking a cigarette and using I assume the magistrate powers that Mr. Belding has bestowed upon them, the gendarme, run into the bathroom and throw Scud against the wall.
Yes. Ballsy move. And I know Slater has muscles and everything, of course.
He's
Slater is without a doubt the most ripped guy in the school. But Scud, sheer weight, Scud still like doubles
also,
him.
Also, what are they
going to
do if he is smoking weed?
Exactly. Well, citizen's arrest?
Yeah. Beat the shit out of him? What's the idea here?
Yeah, exactly. But it turns out he's just smoking a cigarette. But then that's another chance for them to give a little mini PSA about cigarettes and go, well, these can kill you too, dummy.
Yeah, but they're not concerned. But they do go, in the end, there is a little bit. Don't smoke.
Yeah, just getting that across. But I love when they go, hey, we thought you were smoking weed. Scud is like,
never.
Scandalized.
I would never.
How dare you think I would smoke weed?
I'm Scud, not scum.
Yeah. But yeah, he does. And it's like, when you look at, you're like, of course that guy smokes weed constantly.
He's in a leather jacket wearing a Slayer shirt
right.
With a safety pin through his ear.
Yes.
But
and like,
he's just like, me?
Me? How dare
Scud?
You, sir? Yes. So he can't believe they would accuse him of such a thing. Anyway, and yeah, but in the end, they're like, don't smoke anything. That's the message we're getting here.
Just don't smoke.
So.
Except Johnny Dakota says, there is one thing you can smoke. The peace pipe of my people.
Oh. That's right. I forgot that he was a Native American.
He's a Native American. So,
the next scene is Johnny Dakota and Kelly at the Max.
They're holding hands.
They're just sitting there in the booth holding hands, having flirting, a romantic lunch or whatever. Now, I point this out because no one is bothering him.
He's sitting in a public place.
Right. We've established he is the equivalent of a Zac Efron, of a Corey Haim in their day, whatever. No one is bothering him.
It's all good, man.
Just go out in public. Chill. No one's going to come talk to you at all.
Go to the Peach Pit.
Yep. They're equivalent to the Peach Pit, and it's fine. So they're having their romantic whatever. Then eventually, though, everybody comes up. Like Lisa and Jesse.
Lisa walks in, and they look. Lisa, by the way, who's crushing so hard on Johnny Dakota, sees them holding hands, breaks into a huge smile. She's thrilled.
She's so psyched that her best friend is
stole the guy.
Yeah.
She's just like, great.
No problem.
Let's go flirt with him, too. All the girls' pussies are dripping wet. I mean
like, it's a flood.
Sopping wet over Johnny Dakota. I mean, they are so hot to trot for this dude. I mean, that is one thing I noticed. They are so into it.
They are all so into it. So, eventually the whole crew ends up there. Like, they walk up, and then, like, Zach walks up. Everybody's there. In this public place, Johnny goes, hey, you guys, I'm having a party at my house tonight.
You're all invited to my Hollywood party.
Let me announce this in this public place with many people around. Let me go ahead and tell you my address. Tell you to come to this party at my house.
Screech has a hilarious line about never being invited to a Hollywood party before.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll meet, what was it?
The Simpsons.
Oh, maybe I'll meet the Simpsons.
Or he's like, maybe I'll meet Bart Simpson.
Maybe I'll meet the Simpsons. Yeah. Which, let's just say, doesn't make sense on a number of levels.
Of course.
Simpsons are an animated show.
Right.
So there's no possibility that they'll be there. Maybe some of the voice actors.
Sure.
Maybe that's what he meant. I don't know for sure, but I mean, they're cartoons, so the line doesn't make sense.
Right.
Also, Simpsons is on Fox.
That's true. So
Johnny definitely works for NBC Television.
That's right. So it's kind of not cool to bring up a competitor.
Right.
You know, in the context of this Hollywood party, it's like, well, no, they're not going to be there.
So Screech is mocking Johnny Dakota. I think we can get that. He's like, NBC.
This is his subversive way of being like.
Right now, NBC has friends and is on top, but soon we know NBC is going to fall apart as a network.
Right.
When the head of NBC Television, who I won't mention, leaves and Bob Greenblatt takes over, it's going to be a lot of programming issues. He knows all this.
Right.
Screech is like an oracle.
How do you know that? I don't know that shit.
I used to write on a show for NBC Television. Right.
I forgot about you being way more successful than me for a second. How could I?
I honestly don't know. I'm looking around your apartment, and I honestly don't know. Holy I'm kidding. Shit, do you have a nice apartment? Not. I'm just joking.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because speaking of my apartment, the next scene is Johnny Dakota, what is supposed to be Johnny Dakota's fancy Hollywood pad.
Hollywood pad.
That looks almost identical to my one-bedroom apartment we're sitting in with the cheap-ass vertical blinds that came with it.
Comically ghetto condo. It's a condominium.
It's a condo.
But in 91, a condo was like, that was the ideal.
Sure,
right?
But he's supposed to be like an established movie star.
A huge star.
And this is Hollywood Hills home.
He does have a patio.
That really has beige walls and carpet and vertical blinds like my apartment we're sitting in right now.
Right.
The apartment of a very unsuccessful person we've established.
So he's having a party, underattended.
Yes.
No one's bothering him again.
Yeah.
He's the star, but no one's talking to him. He's just sitting there flirting with Tiffany.
Yeah.
Or Kelly.
Well, yeah, until two ladies come up and they're like, what's up? And he tries to act like, what?
I'm with this teenager now. Buzz off. But meet my co-star.
High school student.
Meet my co-star, Zach.
Yeah.
Those girls immediately, it's a commentary on sexuality and the commodification of fame. They immediately jump onto Zach's pastel lapel suit colored arm.
Oh, it's like Miami Vice shit.
Straight up.
Yes. Yes.
Zach is stoked. He doesn't realize the inhumanity of what's happening because he's a sex addict. Because
he's just like pussy. All I see is pussy.
He's trying to fix on his drug of choice.
Yeah. That's good. Yes. Right? Yes.
He walks over. AC Slater, by the way, beautiful dimples, lovely ambiguous ethnicity.
Let me ask you this, because I feel like the answer is yes.
Would I hit?
Yeah.
AC? Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Better. I think he's better looking.
AC could get it from you.
Yeah, I mean, he could get it. Sure.
Okay.
I mean, I would prefer Tiffany.
But you'd take AC.
On a rough night with a wig and a, yeah.
Yeah, them dimps.
He got them dimps, though.
Yeah.
he's being shut down.
Which,
left
by
and
the
right.
way, your partner in crime, when Neil was on, that's how he just referred to him as Dimps.
Dimps, yeah.
The
all
whole
right.
time.
Yeah, Dimps is getting shut down left and right.
Yeah.
He's like doing the comic, like, put your hand out to get it shaken, walk
nobody,
by,
yeah.
slick your hair back, pretending you weren't trying to shoot
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
He is getting dissed hard.
Yeah.
Zach's got two women. AC runs up. Hey, you're my best friend. Why don't you introduce me to one of these women? He
nope.
says, have you met my driver?
Yeah.
Very racist.
I thought that was super racist, too.
Clearly. And they are like, shouldn't he be in the car? Might as well have been saying, shouldn't he be in the INS, detention center? You know what I mean? To me, that's how I read that.
Totally.
Right?
Yes. I thought it was super weirdly racist, too. He's my driver.
My driver.
Yeah. So, but while after that happens, they shift over to Kelly and Jesse, who come out
they're
of the other
the time
room.
Of their life.
And they go, they're psyched.
Yeah, because they just met some stars. They met.
Who'd they meet?
Storm Sutherland.
That's right.
And Luke Diamond.
Can you believe it?
So far, the stars we know of are Johnny Dakota.
Yes.
Storm Sutherland and Luke Diamond. You remember the 90s when every star was named.
Had like the most gimmicky name ever.
Yeah, don't you remember that?
No normal names were happening at all.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I love too, is because just put your feet on it.
Screech.
Just do it. Okay. Yeah, like everybody, no one, there's never just like, oh yeah, I danced with, you know, Frank mm-hmm. Johnson, the movie star. Like, can't have that.
No.
Uh-uh.
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah.
In walks Screech at
right.
this point, dressed as what I can only describe as a Western cowboy assassin pervert.
Okay, because he's wearing a flasher,
he's wearing a
like trench coat.
Hat,
yes,
and then a combed waxed cotton hunting rain trench coat.
Yeah, but I mean, and it looks like he has nothing underneath.
Right, and it's enormous. It's like enormous.
Yeah.
And no one.
No one's
really
like
blamed.
That's weird.
And he's for some reason like having a like dance seizure. For no reason.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
just
yeah.
walking in, dancing. No,
yeah.
There's no reason why he should be doing that.
No, not at all.
It's never talked about.
No, I can just only imagine it's like his idea of what he thinks cool looks like. But yeah,
right.
they never. It's never like, what are you doing?
Why are you walking like that?
He does that, and a woman follows. A woman makes a beeline for
She's
him.
She's loving it.
She's like, what's up?
Cool moves.
Cool moves. You're
cool
a hot
moves,
guy.
Cool outfit. Who are you? You must be Storm Sutherland.
He might be like early peacocking, though. Think about it. Think about it.
P.S. Think about what is his name? The actor.
Dustin Diamond.
Dustin Diamond. An
that's,
actual star from
wait,
the 90s.
You're right. So that's like a real last name.
Well, I'm sure that's not his real name.
I think it is.
Let's look it up. I'm going to bet you money that that's not his real last name.
Do you
name.
Remember, did you in your day, because we are the same age, remember hearing the urban legend of him being Mike D's cousin or brother or something?
Oh, no. Is that fake?
That was a thing. Well, you know, don't you remember hearing the thing that, like, Marilyn Manson was on the Wonder Years?
Was that true?
No. But these were just, I guess these urban legends didn't go around your school.
Well, I was in a black school, so the ones I heard about were Mary J. Blige is a man.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
That was a real one. And there was another one. Everybody always had AIDS.
That was the urban legend.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone had AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
Every famous person had AIDS.
Yeah, you might be right here. It seems like his name is
Dustin Diamond.
Dustin Diamond.
Yeah. I didn't even, until now, I did not put two and two together.
Do you
that
know
that's
the name of Screech's sex tape?
Isn't it, well, because the Dirty Sanchez one, it's like.
Saved
smell,
by the smell.
Yeah, yeah, it's something gross.
What a disgusting.
Oh.
All right.
Okay, so the lady comes straight up to him, is super feeling what he's putting out. You're amazing.
He says, I'm actually Johnny Dakota's stunt double.
That's right.
He falls off tries to do a stunt to impress the girl.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, AC Slater tries to flirt with the girl. She's having none of it. She's
none
like,
of
go
it.
Go wait in the car, you wetback. Like, she doesn't.
Oh, my God.
She doesn't want anything to do with him. So she's Screech. Now, Screech in this outfit.
Yeah.
She's like, anything but a Mexican.
Oh,
go away.
Oh my God.
That's how I'm taking it. He's a good-looking dude with dimps. As the great Neil Brennan said.
Yeah, you're feeling those dims. Yeah, you've brought him up like five times.
He's a pretty person. I mean, yeah. What can be, you can't deny that. So he does a move. He tries to do a weird move.
Yeah.
He falls off the couch. Everybody applauds, but he's been injured.
He goes, and he's like, oh, I hurt my back. And I'm like, what are you, 60? Like, right. You're a virile teenage guy. Like, you would just get up.
Hurts his back.
The way he's speaking, it's like, I've fallen and I can't get up. Elderly person right. Injury.
And then, now here's where it really gets interesting to me. He hurts his back. Someone says he should go home. All of these high school seniors, are they seniors at this point?
I don't know. No, I think they're like juniors.
All these high school kids.
Yeah.
At the first Hollywood party of their life.
Yeah.
Meeting Storm Sutherland, Luke Diamond. You know, Zach has two women, two blondes.
Yes.
Who are down for anything.
Yes, yes.
Anything.
Literally, yes.
They would do anything.
Yes.
They're all like, let's leave this party because a dork hurt his back. This dork hurt his back. Let's get out of here.
Let's leave this Hollywood manse.
We're out of here.
Yeah.
He could have. Zach was about to have his first threesome. He's a sex addict.
Yes. That's
but
established.
He's like, let's go. I'm getting out of here.
I wish the name of this episode was Let's Leave This Party Because a dork hurt his back.
AKA the Gossier story.
But so. You're correct. 100% agree with you. Everyone files out of there. Like, everyone's like, yes, of course. We're leaving immediately. No one fights him on
this. No one's like, maybe we should stay.
Yeah.
Maybe you can get home on your own.
We'll call you a cab, whatever,
no,
whatever.
You're going to need at least four people to get you home.
Yes.
Screech. You've
yes.
Hurt, you've minorly hurt your back.
Yes. And the only one who does stay, though, is Kelly.
Again, there's a writer's room, adult professional screenwriters.
Yes.
Someone asked the question, well, how do we get the... How do we get Tiffany Amber Thiessen there alone with Johnny Dakota?
Totally.
Someone pitched, what if Screech hurts his back?
What if Screech falls 1.5 feet off of a couch?
Doing a fall he does on purpose.
Yes.
Onto a carpeted surface.
Yes.
He hurts his back. All of the high school kids leave the Hollywood party. And someone else said, great pitch.
That definitely makes
Write
sense.
Write it up. Let's
yeah.
do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course. All right. Of course. Makes perfect sense. So
everybody leaves.
Everybody leaves except Kelly.
Except Kelly, who's there. She's trolling for Dick.
Oh, 100%.
And
she
then,
might lose her virginity to Johnny Dakota tonight.
In walks a 90-year-old man.
Yes.
In a bright blue suit with a joint. I mean, he just beelines for Johnny Dakota.
Let's be real. This is a Hollywood party in the 90s. There would be fucking...
Cocaine.
Mountains, Mount Everests of coke everywhere.
No.
This guy comes in with
ah joint, walks right up to Johnny Dakota. Johnny Dakota does not, he goes, I got some good stuff here, man. Johnny Dakota doesn't blink. He doesn't go, hey, Kelly, I do smoke pot. I gotta admit to you.
Yes.
No. He just starts smoking weed.
Yes.
No explanation. She's freaking out. He goes, hey, come on. Like none of the previous episode has happened. Like, they
exactly.
didn't have the drug round table.
Exactly, round table.
It's a sudden plot twist.
Right. She does immediate. She is so scandalized. It's as if he just started cooking a spoonful of heroin in front of her.
Right.
And is, like, preparing a needle. I mean, she's like.
And he's just, like, couldn't be more nonchalant.
Yeah.
Smoke some pot. But what about the fact that I've been doing an anti-drug PSA? What about the fact that we had none of that? Just here, smoke pot.
Right.
The guy, the old guy, 90-year-old guy goes, ha, 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 she's just going to say no.
Right.
He's still trying to get his dick wet.
Yes.
But he says nothing.
Yeah.
He's not like, ah, forget it. You don't need to smoke weed. Which would happen at an adult's party.
Of course. All the time.
With pot everywhere. You go,
no
oh, you don't want to smoke weed? Okay.
No one cares. It would happen any drug that's out. Even if they're doing lines, like if you're like, no thanks, they're like, okay. Like, no one cares.
Zach bursts back in because his dick is on rock in those polyester cavaricis, right? He's like, I got to get back there and fuck those two blondes. He bursts in. He goes, I'm back.
Yes.
I mean, by the way, less than a minute after he left.
Yeah, that's true.
He got to the
They're barely
elevator.
Out the door before
he got to the elevator.
The pot comes out.
He goes, you know what, Screech?
You're good. You have these
okay.
three other people assisting you.
You have
with
a
your
wrestler.
Minor.
You have my driver will take you home.
My driver will take you home with your minor back injury.
Right.
I'm going to go back in and fucking run train on those two blondes.
And they're ready. They thirsty.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he sees the joint and he's
he
like.
He freeze. He stops in his track again, yeah. as if black tar heroin has yep. been broken out. He freezes in his tracks. Is like, oh, what's that?
That's right.
What the fuck, Johnny? And so they all just freak out. Yeah.
And he's like, come on, we're getting out of here.
We're getting the fuck out of here.
They bail.
Yes.
Tiffany or Kelly and Zach
run out.
Get
of
out of there.
Yeah. So the next day we're back at school. And Johnny is like, all right, cool. You guys ready to shoot this?
Let's
again?
Roll
like,
nothing.
Yeah.
He's wearing a sheer polyester, partially see-through on the sleeves, button-up shirt.
Yeah.
With metal-tipped side button, oblong horizontal buttons.
Yeah. And like a metal-tipped collar, I feel yep. like, too. Yep. Yeah.
He's ready to go.
Yeah. He's like, let's go shoot this. And then that's when Zach's like, nah,
hey, man,
dog, you're a hypocrite.
Not cool. You smoked weed.
Yeah.
And again, Johnny Dakota never says, look, I know this is weird. He just goes, yo, man, what I do in my house is my business.
Right.
And then Zach is just like, sort of inexplicably like, you can't do this PSA.
Yeah.
You just, why? I'm not sure. It just feels wrong.
Yeah. They're obsessed with the hypocrisy of it, which they would, it's just like, oh, okay.
I mean, he doesn't want him to leave. He just says, like, please don't do this
right.
PSA.
Well, but then when he's like, when Johnny goes, whatever, I'm going to, like, lay off, pal. Lay off, friend. And then that's when Zach's like, I'm not your friend. And symbolically takes off the jacket, throws it at him.
But does then walk into where they're filming the PSA.
Yes.
He just still does want to see if maybe Johnny will do the right thing, have a change of heart, and say, yeah. I can't do this. I smoke weed.
Right.
Doesn't go that way.
No. Johnny walks in and is still like, let's shoot this.
He's like, roll him. The director's like, less chatter.
The director is, to be honest, more like, yo.
He doesn't have
a somber toned yo. Yeah,
yo. They're going to start.
Yeah.
Zach's like, I can't do this. I'm out of here. Rather than everybody leaving, they one by one leave, each with a parting parting
yeah,
line.
Yes.
I'm out of here. You're a loser.
Yeah.
And then Tiffany's still, Kelly's still
she
there.
She kind of lingers.
She lingers. You think, oh, maybe she's still thirsty.
Yeah.
No, she was waiting for the right time to say, buzz off, loser.
Yeah.
I'm out of here, too.
Yeah.
Johnny storms off.
Right. And then that's when Belding's like, what's going on here?
That's the end of Johnny Dakota.
Yeah.
At Bayside High.
Yeah, he totally bounces. And so then they're in Belding's office because he's like, what the fuck, guys? And they're like, hey, guess what? He secretly smokes weed.
Belding's, you did the right thing.
You did. I feel like Belding would be like, no, duh. Of course he does.
Right.
I'm an adult. I know what happens at adult homes.
Right. Johnny Dakota, by the way, people don't know this, but his life fell apart after this.
Oh, my God.
Never worked again.
Of course. They found out about the weed scandal, the single joint scandal of 91.
He never worked again.
Nope.
Ran out of money.
Yep.
And he ended up living on Skid Row in Los Angeles. And
absolutely.
He died of a heroin overdose.
Of course. I mean, that's the natural progression of anyone who smokes a joint
it's
in their
really
life.
Sad.
Yeah.
He had to actually move back to the reservation. And a lot of depression, a lot of suicide.
Right, right.
And that's what happened.
Those are true statistics.
Okay, so.
Well, yeah, so Belding is like,
so
you guys
like,
did
all
the right
hope
thing.
Is lost. They're like, this sucks.
We'll never have a PSA here.
We'll never have a PSA here. NBC, we're done.
Yeah.
Belding reveals in what can only be described as one of the great dramatic reveals of television history.
Completely.
Don't worry.
I got this.
I never mentioned it before.
Yeah.
But I am very close friends with Brandon Tartikoff, the head of NBC television.
Oh, no. This is played as a reveal of like, fucking look at who we got, you guys.
Absolutely. The next scene, he goes, hold on, let me make a call. He calls NBC
yeah,
television.
And you're like, who's he calling?
The next scene, holy shit, it's actual television executive Brandon Tartikoff.
Honestly, this is one of my favorite moments in the whole series of the show.
Amazing.
Because they do. They reveal it as if it's like this massive star, like, look at who we got. Also, this is zero teenagers would have known who this dude was.
Absolutely
zero
not.
Teenagers.
Definitely what happened is Brandon Tartikoff walked into the writer's room and said, I want to be in an episode of this show
yeah.
somehow.
Figure it out, guys. Figure
I'm
it
Brandon
out.
Brandon fucking Tartikoff.
Write me in. I've signed your checks.
I will fucking end all of your lives, both financially and literally.
Yes,
if you don't
figure
make this
out.
Happen.
So they do it. The reveal is so hilarious.
Instead of a huge movie star.
Instead of Madonna or anyone else that they are.
This PSA is going to feature stuffy, stiff-armed television executive, Brandon Tartikoff.
And I'm pretty sure they press the button on the woo machine when he's revealed. When, again, teenagers across America are going, who the fuck is this guy who looks like my dad?
Brandon Tartikoff.
Yes.
They do the PSA.
They do it.
Brandon takes
delivers
place,
his lines very spectacularly woodenly.
Very woody.
Yeah.
And it is a fucking hit.
Okay. But here's my another favorite part of this. They do it. They show them filming the end bit
they
where he's
it.
Like, I'm
you
with
see it
these kids.
In real time.
Da, da, da. Then maybe a minute later, a minute and a half, a guy goes, playback.
Let's play it on the monitor.
We just edited these VHS tapes that we have to physically take out of camcorders.
Right.
Because we don't have computers yet, because that's not a thing.
We're on the monitor. Let's watch what we just did.
We just edited the entire thing in a minute and a half.
And
let's watch
boom.
It, guys.
It's
here it is.
Ready to go.
Yeah. Fully edited with the scene that they just filmed at the end.
Yep. And it starts, you know, Tiffany Kelly is like, no, do drugs. And then the best line, I don't remember all the lines, but the best line is they go to Zach and do dope. One word. Nope.
Nope. That's right.
It's powerful.
Look, we've already, it's his rhyming skills.
Yep.
We had the preview of him
that's
on
right.
the stairs.
That's right. Do dope. One word. Nope. Pan out to reveal huge celebrity
Brandon
Tartikoff saying, I've got a great idea for this fall's programming. Don't do drugs. And then awkward, there's no hope in dope.
Yes.
From all the students. Boom. Cut. Print. That's a wrap.
Let me tell you a little secret. A lot of people think it's like Ian MacKay, Minor Threat, whatever. This is what inspired me to be straight edge.
Absolutely.
I saw this ep and I'm like, I'm not ever touching drugs.
How could it not?
There's no hope with them.
Then they tease out some of the backstory of how Belding and Tartikoff knew each other. A very convoluted story about how Tartikoff wanted to be a high school principal and Belding wanted to be in show business.
Yeah.
They were chasing the same girl, but then some weird thing happened. Belding won, so he became a principal. Not sure. Don't know.
Like, yeah, I don't either. Like, he won, so then Brandon was like, I guess I'm going to go to a different college, one where you can major in running networks.
Keep
I don't
in
know.
Mind,
how
again,
does that work?
Brandon Tartikoff, head of NBC, the real head of NBC.
Yeah.
Ostensibly, he knows dialogue as well.
Yes.
He's received
He's in
this
charge
script.
Of overseeing the production of television shows.
He's seen the script. He's seen the scene. He goes, this one works.
Yeah, this is definitely...
The one time I'm going to make my debut.
Yeah, this is what I want it to be.
This is it.
Exactly.
And then we end the episode thinking about just how powerful drug addiction...
That's right. How there really... It truly... There is no hope with dope.
There's no hope with dope, and there's no hope on the Apache and Dakota Reservation until the American... American Indian, you know, Bureau of Indian Affairs, BIA.
Is that a thing?
Begins to let go of the hegemony that white governmental officials have had upon it and allow true sovereignty to
right.
a people that have been betrayed in the past and continue to be betrayed by an unjust system of oppression, broken treaties, and lies.
Of course, yes.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Yes. That was actually the original title of this episode.
Free Leonard Peltier.
That's right.
Bury me at Wounded Knee. And that's a wrap.
Okay, well, I want to definitely thank you for finally being on. I've wanted you to be a guest for quite a while. I've actually gotten emails, for real, from people specifically asking
really?
You for me to get you on it.
Well, here I am.
And I was like, I'm trying. Now, I want to say briefly, again, because we are the same age, but you were telling me you did not watch the show growing up.
Not really. No, I did. I mean, I saw it. I saw episodes of it, but
right.
it was not within my my regular rotation.
It wasn't like what you came home from school and
Def not.
Watched.
Def
yeah,
not.
Yeah.
No, I was on some other shit. Yeah. I was on some In Living Color, Star Trek The Next Generation.
Well, I totally watched those things.
Wonder Years.
Right.
Type
I watched
shit.
In Living Color, but those didn't come on after school.
I don't know, man.
You just was like out doing cool shit.
I guess so. I was doing.
I read your book.
Yeah, you know what? So you know what I was doing.
I know what's up.
I was doing dope.
Yeah.
And guess what? Guess who I met out on those streets?
I was about to say, there's a lot of hope in it if you got a cool book out of it.
Yeah, but there's a young man named Scud who doesn't think there is so much hope.
That's true.
I met Scud out there in them streets.
In them streets. Really? You're hanging out with 50-year-olds?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Well, I do thank you for being here. And speaking of your book, yeah, I do want to. It was awesome. I bought it the day it came out and read it in one sitting.
See it on your shelf. I appreciate
it. Totally. It's fucking great. Are you going to write another one?
Hope so.
Okay, cool.
Someday, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're out there, Baysiders, come see me live, MosheKasher.com.
This drops Tuesday, so whatever.
I'll be all up in your city.
Yeah.
Drops Tuesday?
Yeah.
I'll be at Madison, Wisconsin this very weekend.
Okay.
Yep, it's Comedy Club on State. I got all kinds of... And New Orleans, have you looked at your listener demographics
You'd
yet?
Be shocked at how many people listen to this.
Yeah, how many?
I mean, like a lot more than you think.
How many?
I'm not going to say. That seems weird.
All right,
but...
well, anyway, I'm in New Orleans on April 1st with Tom Lennon and Natasha Leggero at One Eye Jacks. That'll be a fun show.
That's
awesome. Just come see me live, MosheKasher.com.
That's awesome.
Listen to my podcast,
yeah,
Champs. It's literally the opposite demographic of the people that listen to this episode.
Right. Okay. Champs is awesome. You're awesome. Neil's awesome.
You're awesome. Dimps is awesome.
Thanks. All right, you guys. That was another episode of Go Bayside. And I'll see you guys next time. Thanks. Beep, 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 go Bayside!